ارزقهم واياكم ان قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا.
Going through the tafsir of Surah Bani Israel. Today, inshallah, we're going to start from ayah number 26 of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respect the parents, in which Allah tells us, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And it went into detail about how to deal with the parents in old age, not to talk with them with any kind of respect, be humble to them, treat them well, make dua for them, etc. Moving on from that similar subject, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into talking about the importance of the other relationships and the people that are needy around us, how to deal with them. So he says, first and foremost, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. Give the relative his right. Give the relative his right. Now that right can be many things. It's a very broad statement. The right of the relatives, it can be basically participating in their events, when they're sick, going to visit them. And even when it comes to charity, as the saying goes in English, charity begins at home. Charity can be given and should be given more to relatives than to other people. So if you have a needy relative, if you have a needy cousin, needy aunt, needy uncle, you can even give them zakat. Your own zakat wealth, you can give it to them without even informing them that this is zakat that is being given to them, if of course they are needy for zakat and they are recipients of zakat, they are deserving of zakat, then you can give them zakat without informing them. And this in fact makes the reward for the charity double fold. You get the reward for the giving in charity, and on top of that you get the reward for what's known as silatul arham, meaning enjoining good relationships with the relatives. So Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. Make sure you fulfill the rights of the relatives. وَالْمِسْكِينَ. And of course the miskeen, the poor person, the person who is needy, make sure you fulfill his right. Whenever he has a right, whenever he has a need, fulfill the right, give to him whenever he needs. And وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. And for the wayfarer, the person who's lost, the person who's lost his money, he's lost his possessions, to get him back to his destination, this is known as Ibn Sabil, the person who's a wayfarer. And this person, in fact, he may be a and he may own lots of possessions back in his home country or wherever he's from, but because in his current state he may have lost everything and he needs help to get back home, he is also a deserving recipient of zakat. So Wabnu Sabil, the wayfarer, the traveler, you take care of him and fulfill his right. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And don't be extravagant. So this can be extravagant in the general sense, that in our spending, in our spending of wealth, spending of money, we should not be extravagant. And on top of that, also in giving in charity, we should not be extravagant also, which inshallah we're going to discuss in the next few ayats. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that up. So the issue is that Islam is a religion of moderation, not a religion of extremism, going to extremes. Even in the issue of spending in charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to be extreme and not to spend too much and not to be bakhil, but take the middle path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this ummah as ummatan wasata, the middle ummah, the ummah that takes the middle path always. And in every respect we should try to do that. Not to be extreme even in our worship. Many people, they become extreme in worshipping, and what happens is they become overpowered by it and they become defeated. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that لَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينِ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. When the deen is competed with, then the deen overpowers a person and a person cannot keep up. So a person, for example, he thinks to himself that from now on I'm going to pray tahajjud every single night, and I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and 2 hours every night I'm going to devote to tahajjud. So what's going to happen? After a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, person is going to get tired, he has to go to work, he has to, you know, be productive, and his lack of sleep at night is going to make him less productive. So this is a form of going to extremes which a person cannot be cannot, you know, take care of, and he's going to be defeated because of it. On the other hand, if a person thinks to himself that just 20 minutes or so before Fajr time, I'm going to wake up, make wudu, and 15 minutes I'm going to pray tahajjud and wait for Fajr prayer, go to the masjid and pray Fajr. So he's basically, very simplistically, he's praying the tahajjud, he's getting the reward of tahajjud, and he's not doing it in such a way that he's becoming overpowered by it. So this person, he will be consistent. So Islam teaches us not to go to extremes. When a person goes to extremes, ultimately he's going to become the loser. A person should always take the middle path in everything. So وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا means do not be extravagant, and particularly when it comes to extravagance in wealth. The scholars, they say, Mujahid says, لَوْ أَنْفَقَ إِنسَانٌ مَالَهُ كُلَّهُ فِي الْحَقِّ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُبَذِّرًا. If a person, he spends all of his wealth in something that is deserving and something that is correct, then this person is not making tabdeer. He's not being extravagant. Okay? But on the other hand, وَلَوْ أَنْفَقُ مُدًّا فِي غَيْرِ حَقٍ كَانْ مُبَذِّرًا. If a person, he spends one mud is something that basically you can fit into the palms of both of your hands. If a person spends one mud in something that is not correct to spend in, that does not deserve to be spent upon, then this is tabdhir, and this is a form of extravagance. Qatada says, التَبْذِيرُ النَّفْقَةُ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Qatada says that tabdhir, meaning extravagance, is spending in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any money that is spent in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is extravagance. It is going over the top and it's incorrect, and this is what is meant here. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Do not be extravagant. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The next ayah goes on to say very harshly that the people that are extravagant, they are the brothers of the shayateen. They are the brothers of shayateen. And again, all forms of extravagance are meant here, including extravagance in wealth, spending in places where we should not, and that is first and foremost. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And the shaytan, he was ungrateful to his Lord. And actually, extravagance comes when there's ingratitude in a person. This is what happens. A person, for example, he has a car which is working perfectly fine, and it takes him from point A to point B, reliable, still under warranty, it is usable. But a person just thinks that I have to get the newest model. Okay, so this is because he becomes ungrateful for the blessing that he already had, that he looks to something newer, right? This is what happens. So it's a form of ingratitude that pushes a person to make tabdhir and become extravagant. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan was disobedient to his Lord. He was ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who's ungrateful, he ends up becoming extravagant also. The next ayah says, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Now going back to the main point again, Allah says, talking about those people that are needy and they come to you for help. Now they come to you for help, you don't have anything to give them, what do you do? So Allah tells us here, if you turn away from them, seeking a rahmah from your Lord that you hope for, meaning you hope for money, you hope for wealth, but you don't have it, people come to you, you have to turn away from them because they don't. You don't have that money. So what are you supposed to do? فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Tell them some easy words. Tell them some nice words. I don't have anything right now. Inshallah, I'm going to get paid in a few days. Maybe when you come back, I'll take care of you then. Okay? I don't have anything now. I don't think I'll be able to help you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for you. Maybe you can go to so-and-so and they will be able to help you. Maybe you can go to the masjid. They have a structure for helping out needy people. Maybe they can help you. Don't be harsh and don't be rough upon the person, telling them, I don't have any money to give you. Why do you keep coming back to me? Don't say words like that. But فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say gentle words to them, say nice words to them. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, a person who comes to ask for you, do not scold him and do not be harsh with him. The next ayah again goes back to that issue of being cautious in spending, even spending in charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Do not make your hand tied to your neck. Ghul basically is, the old days they used to have slaves, and the slaves used to have like a chain around their neck. This was known as ghul. And people's, the slaves sometimes, their hands used to be tied to that chain itself. So the hands are tied there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the comparison to a stingy person, that person who is stingy, he is like that person whose hands are tied to those chains. That he cannot move his hands to put them in his pockets. So Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't make your hands maghloola and chained up to your neck. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. And also, do not just spread them out completely. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting مَلُومًا, meaning blamed, and مَحْسُورًا. I'll explain what مَحْسُورًا means. It basically means helpless. But what happens is, when a person is stingy, he's going to be blamed, مَلُومًا, he's going to be blamed. And مَحْسُورًا is from the word حَسِير. It's an animal that becomes useless. It's not useful for anything. So what happens is, where if a person spends all of his money, now he has nothing left, he becomes like a useless animal. So even in the case of charity, a person needs to be careful how he's spending. Give in charity, give according to your needs, capacity, give according to how much you can give, but also make sure that you have something left for yourself, for your family, for your needs, and so on and so forth. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. Allah is giving a general rule here. And He's saying that your Lord, He spreads the wealth, gives a lot to whom He wants, وَيَقْدِرُ, and He tightens for whom He wants. So Allah gives more to some people, less to some people, and that is His wisdom, why He does that. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, He is fully aware and watching over His slaves. So the reason that He gives more to some people is because of His own wisdom. He knows how they're going to react with that money. And He gives less to some people because He knows how they're going to react in the state of poverty. There's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي لِمَنْ لَا يُسْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ دِينَ. There are some people that they are only worthy of being poor. And if I give them if I give them wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this hadith Qudsi, then I will corrupt their deen for them. So in the state of poverty, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but once they get riches, it corrupts their mind, it corrupts their actions, and they become disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing full well that person's situation, He gives him less. And then the hadith goes on to say, وَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي لِمَنْ لَا يُسْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَى. And there are some of my slaves who are only worthy of being rich. وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ دِينَ. If I give him poverty, then I will corrupt his deen for him. Meaning that person in the state of poverty, he will not be religious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing all of these balances and nuances about people, He gives according to them. And that's why He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَسِيرًا. Indeed, your Lord, He gives, spreads the risk to whom He wants, and He tightens it for whom He wants. Indeed, He is aware and watching over His slaves. The next ayah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Again, something to do with a person's wealth. Many people, they are afraid of bringing children into the world. How am I going to feed them? How am I going to take care of them? I don't have them, the money to provide for my child. I don't have the resources to provide for my child. So they are afraid of bringing children into the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us here, do not kill your children for fear of poverty. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty. And in the old days, people actually used to kill their children, physically used to kill their children. And that same ruling basically applies nowadays to the issue of abortion. Okay? If a person feels and his the only reasoning behind his thinking for his child is the issue of poverty, he should not go to the abortion. Okay? There are other reasons, medical reasons and so on, that allow for the abortion to take place. But if the only reason is that a person is afraid that he will not be able to provide for his child, then this is not a reason. A person will remember that every single child comes with the risk and the sustenance written for him or her. And you will find, probably people who are fathers here, you will find that when they had children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors from different directions that became the means of the child's risk and the sustenance that we weren't even aware of. They were going to be open after the child is born. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكُ. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We provide for them and especially you. So Allah is pointing to us and telling us that look at yourself first. You've been raised, you have been provided for, you have food, you have money, you have a house over your head, you have clothing. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for you? So you don't think Allah can provide for one more person who's in your life? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We provide sustenance for them and especially for you. إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْأً كَبِيرًا. Indeed, their killing is a huge mistake. Indeed, killing them is a huge mistake. Obviously, like I said, in those days, they used to actually kill the children. But even in this day, the issue of abortion, especially after 40 days, late-term abortions, subhanAllah, this is a very controversial thing amongst in the medical field. How do late-term abortions take place? You should be aware of this, because it's a very horrific thing. How it's done is that the doctor basically enters a tube or something inside the head of the baby, that and then the head of the baby is crushed inside the womb. Okay, this is how the late-term abortion takes place. And then if that baby was to be born outside the womb, it would be classified as murder. That doctor would be actually arrested for murder. But because the baby is killed inside the womb, that's called abortion. Alright, this is how late-term abortion is. You can look it up online. It's a very horrific thing, and there are many people that are, there are organizations that are against it. Okay, so even late-term or early-term, after 40 days, the ruh is actually put into, according to the hadith. So after 40 days, really there's no hope, there's no reason for somebody to take the life of that child. Before 40 days, some scholars, they give the allowance for it, if there's a need for it, but after 40 days, no. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمْ. I'll finish with this inshallah. Which of the sins is the greatest? Which of the sins is the greatest? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْ تَجْعَلِ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكْ. That you make a partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while He created you. He is the one who created you and you make a partner for Him. This is the biggest sin. Then the Sahabi asked, ثُمَّ أَيْ. Which is the biggest sin after that? The Prophet said, أَنْ تَقْتُلَ وَلَدَكَ خَشْيَةَ أَنْ يُطْعِمَ مَعَكَ. That you kill your child for fear that he's going to eat with you. You kill your child for fear that he's going to eat with you. This is the next greatest sin. And then the Sahabi said, which is the next sin after that? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْ تَزْنِيَ بِحَلِيلَةِ جَارِكَ. That you commit zina with your neighbor. This is one of the Ten Commandments, right? That you not, that thou shalt not covet the, thy neighbor's wife. Okay? So this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, that to commit zina with your neighbor's wife, the neighbor who has so many rights upon you, instead of fulfilling his rights, you are basically, you know, taking advantage in a very, very bad way by committing zina with his wife, or even the zina of the eyes. This is also a form of zina. Looking in an incorrect way, this is also a form of zina. And again, that would be included in that. With that, we finish, inshallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Yeah, in order of priority. But sometimes the priority, it changes also. But this is the general trend. You give priority to your relatives first, and then the poor people and the wayfarers after that. And there's another ayah in Suratul Tawbah, which talks about the recipients of zakat. There's 8 forms of recipients, and the scholars say that those 8 forms of recipients are actually in order. So according to the order given, they should be given priority.